Right now, VFN TV, we're going to be discussing the recent terror attacks in Tel Aviv, Israel. 4 dead, 16 wounded. We're also going to be talking about the ministry that's taken place in the city of Tel Aviv with Duget Ministry, as well as Ramadan, where so many Muslims during a Muslim holy month are actually coming to the salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. All happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground.
God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
Shapir said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America is going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War. We had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. A phrase will be repeated. I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. He has always worked through a remnant.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing alignment to occur. And I will be sending forth column after column after column until the enemy is pushed out of your sphere.
God said, I've released my spirit, and the spirit is going to rush to you.
But we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are you connected at? Where are you rightly related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go in these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolaszewski. Well, we have a serious program to be bringing to you today, as we try to bring serious programs all the time and some lighthearted moments. But today is one of those programs where we want to ask you to pray and get this message out, because Israel is just under attack, a terrorist attack in Tel Aviv. 4 Israelis are dead. Reports are that 16 are wounded. And this happened at the Sirona Market at a Max Brenner restaurant. Right now, the understanding is that they've captured, and I think one of the attackers, terrorists, have been shot. Reports are that they're cousins and they are Palestinians. And there's been a huge wave of violence that's really been occurring since 2015, even when the Secretary of State, John Kerry, basically threatened Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu with the Third Intifada. And what we've seen here over, in particularly the last 8 months, are knifing attacks. We've seen Israelis being run over at bus stops with vehicles by Palestinians. And we've been seeing literature and videos that are teaching Palestinian children how to knife and stab Israelis. And here we are today with four Israelis killed at a restaurant at a really busy market, 16 wounded. And now reports are that Palestinians are threatening during this month of Ramadan, Hamas is, to do more violence. I want you to watch this.
Closed-circuit TV and cell phones caught the terror attack as it happened. People in the restaurant scrambled for their lives. The terrorists killed four Israelis and wounded several others.
Paramedics treated around 10 casualties, amongst them at least one in critical condition. We are still at the scene surveying and looking for additional casualties.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu landed from his state visit to Russia soon after the shootings and toured the scene.
This is a savage crime, murder, and terrorism in the heart of Tel Aviv.
Police shot and wounded the two terrorists, who are cousins from an Arab village near Hebron. They slipped through the security net Israel established to guard against these kinds of attacks. Most potential attacks are thwarted.
While Israelis mourn the dead and wounded, some Palestinians celebrated. For example, Ismail Haniyeh, the head of Hamas, tweeted, "Glory and salutations to the Hebronites." He also included a victory sign emoji. Hamas said it was just the first surprise in store for Israelis during Ramadan.
This footage of applause and cheering comes from Jerusalem Arabs at the Damascus Gate. These pictures are of Palestinians in the West Bank passing out candy to celebrate the attack.
So why are they giving out candies in the street? Because when a population is told that this is what their God wants of them, this is going to bring about the redemption of humanity. Killing the Jews is a condition for the redemption of humanity. So, of course, then it's a celebration every time an Israeli is killed.
Itamar Marcus, director of the Palestinian Media Watch, says killings in the recent wave of terror are glorified, not just by Hamas, but also by Fatah, the political party of the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas.
During this entire terror wave, which began in October 2015, the Palestinian Authority and Fatah, the ruling party of Mahmoud Abbas, have given absolute support to the terrorists who murdered four Israelis yesterday, who were captured by Israel, are now going to go to jail. And from this day onward, they will now be receiving salaries, monthly salaries, from the Palestinian Authority. How can the Palestinian Authority expect the world to believe that they are fighting terror, that they are against terror?
Marcus believes unless the indoctrination stops, murders like the one in Tel Aviv's Sarona Market will continue. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Where is the international and global outcry to condemn such violence and to condemn what the Palestinians are doing? On the contrary, what's happening is this BDS movement, this boycott, divestment, sanction movement that is being waged, if you will, against Israel to try to get companies and nations to stop doing business. Really? Well, here we have Israelis once again being under attack. It's so important that as a church we are informed, that we are educated in terms of what's happening globally, in particular the Middle East, so that we can pray and partner with God. Reports are that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu returned from his Moscow trip, meeting with Putin, the president of Russia, and at midnight he arrived there at the scene. He evaluated the situation. He got some information, obviously, from those on the ground. And this is what he had to say. This was a very difficult event of cold-blooded murder by heinous terrorists. And right now they're in discussions about what they're going to do about retaliating and making sure that justice is being dealt. That's one thing about Israel, is that they make sure that they protect their citizens and that they hold people accountable for the things that they do. You know, in the view of all of what's happening, I want to bring you some hope and some encouragement, because as a VFN TV partner and those that partner with this program, you know that we all stand together with Avi Mizrahi of Do Get Ministry and the powerful work that they're doing right there in the heart of Tel Aviv. Well, I got report from Greg where I want to make sure that I shared this with you today, that he got report from Avi that the very same night of the attack, their ministry were having a prayer meeting. They were having a prayer meeting in the prayer tower that overlooks Tel Aviv. And they felt that, you know, the Lord was just leading them in this prayer. They prayed for government officials. And reports are that this attack took place near the headquarters of the army. And so they feel that it could have been a whole lot worse, and that God had them intercede at that moment. And so listen, God is doing a tremendous work in Israel. When we get back from this break, we're going to update you on everything that's happening in Israel in terms of ministry, in terms of outreach to the Jews, as well as testimonies of Muslims that are coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ during this month of Ramadan. All happening when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? It will kill you. We've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. We need teachers ready to take new believers and get them established soundly on sound doctrine and made disciples, not just converts. One of the greatest reasons for the greatest weakness, I think, today is we've been making converts instead of disciples. No, the Great Commission is to make disciples, and we've got to be that first if we're going to make others. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. It's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partner for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area that will focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. We just, before we went to break, we're talking about Israel and the attack that just took place in Tel Aviv, where four Israelis now are dead, 16 wounded, and our hearts mourn. We go out for the Israelis. Once again, this is something that is tragic. Once again, I'm sure that the citizens of Israel are concerned. I'm sure many children are fearful, adults as well. Who wants to be at a market with your family, enjoying a nice dinner, and have two men that are dressed in plain clothes begin to start shooting up the place and killing people? It's a shocking thing. And this is something that the Israelis have been living with for quite some time. And we really want to see where is the global outrage. Where is the international outcry to talk to specifically the Palestinian community? Because these attackers are Palestinians. They're cousins. This is something that Hamas is saying that they want to do again and more.
They encourage
it. Yeah, during the month of Ramadan, which is their holy month, a time for them to be reflective and fasting. And it seems that this month is a time that they want to incite more violence towards the Israelis and Jews. And, you know, it doesn't take a rocket science to say, you know, that's not good. You know, that is not good, that the hatred that's motivated by that. And the president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, he's the biggest one stoking
incites
the
it,
fire.
Encourages it, yeah.
And so, I mean, any kind of a peace deal, any kind of an agreement, I would think, would imagine, would be to call Abbas on the carpet and say, you can no longer incite people to do violence in any kind of agreement. You know, and so that's not being said. But you see all the indoctrination and all the teaching is being done to these young people.
Yeah, and we've actually showed it on this program that you see that in the very textbooks, that they encourage it, they teach it, they share their children. I mean, there's young toddlers, 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds that are just saying, I want to martyr and kill the Jews. And it's like, this is what's being taught, and it's encouraged, and it's horrible.
These attackers and their families are going to receive a paycheck now. They're going to receive income because of what they have done. And I think about, you know, what just took place in New York when the governor of New York, Cuomo, publicly and boldly, I may add, stood for Israel and says that, listen, any nation, any business, any organization that boycotts Israel, New York will boycott you. He signed an executive order that basically said, we're not going to do business with you. And so he has instructed all of the state's agencies to research and find out who are these organizations. And if there's any contractual agreements or any business dealings with the state of New York, that will no longer exist. And so, you know, we have that coming for you. His speech in its entirety, and we want you to see. But that is a very, very encouraging thing that took place.
And that's a huge moment to have. You know, that's the first governor in the United States. Why not the governor of your state? Why not all 50 governors?
Absolutely.
And to see that encouragement, it's just like, that's a beautiful statement to be made.
Yeah. And you think about the city of Tel Aviv. You know, city of Tel Aviv is not a small city. This is a global city with a population of over 400,000 people. That's a lot of folks, okay? You're seeing some images and some screenshots of what this city looks like. It's an international city. It's the home of Ben Gurion Airport. I flew into that city when it's the only place you fly into. You come into Israel. Yeah. It's the 25th most important financial center of the world. It has the third largest economy of any city in the Middle East. These are according to Wikipedia. And it's the 31st highest cost of living city in the world. In fact, over 1 million people travel to Tel Aviv annually. And so this is a hub city, if you will, a lot of international business, a lot of guests. And I want to encourage you that if you are planning a trip to Israel, don't stop. You know, this is it's a safe place. Although there are attacks and things that happen, I mean, when I was there, I felt very, very safe. And that was in the time where bus bombings were really prevalent. I was pretty, you know, surprised to find out so much of the military presence that's there. And so to see that this take place the way it did, they're getting more crafty, more sinister in their ways to crack, you know, codes and slip through. But I have full faith and confidence in IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, and the leadership of Prime Minister. But more than that, I have faith in the Lord and faith in that God is able to protect the apple of his eye. And we want to encourage you, continue to pray for Israel. And we want to also bring you some hope. We want to bring you some encouragement, as we know many of our viewers stand and love Israel, stand for Israel. You know, we've mentioned to you before about a friend, a ministry friend of ours, Avi Mizrahi. He has a messianic outreach, a Do Get ministry in the heart of Tel Aviv. And he sends his greetings. He sends his love. He asks us to share with you to continue to pray for Israel, continue to pray for their ministry. They were used by God to pray during this time to intercede. And thank the Lord for that. We want to just bring you an update on their ministry so you can kind of see, get a heart and a feel for what they do in Tel Aviv. Watch this.
My name is Avi Mizrahi, and we live here in Tel Aviv, Israel, and it's a beautiful, beautiful city. What's exciting is to see what God is doing. Since I became a believer, accepted the Lord Yeshua into my heart, went to Bible school, I just knew that I want to do one thing. I want to come back to my home city and preach the gospel and make disciples. And that's how we started. And I start going to the streets of Tel Aviv, preaching the gospel, sharing the good news that the Messiah has risen and is alive. And as people responded to the gospel, then the Lord spoke to me to do a discipleship group. So I started doing a small Bible study of 6-7 people, and this home group became a congregation. And that's how we started Adonai Rui Congregation, The Lord is My Shepherd. It's a Hebrew-speaking, Israeli, a local congregation, where people start coming to worship on Saturday, and we have grown from a small group of 6-7 people to 150 people, including children. And it's wonderful to see that indeed Jewish people today are responding to the good news and coming to know Yeshua as their Savior, as their Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. We live in a very exciting times. And then somebody said, we should open a distribution center and feed the poor and the needy. We looked for a place and we rented a place, and we opened our distribution center. And today we feed about between 80 to 100 families every month. And we work with the municipality of Tel Aviv to the social affairs, and they send us families are like Russian immigrants, single mothers, poor people, and we give them bags of food and clothes. And many, many times we had the opportunity, as we do that, they feel the love and the welcoming, and they ask, why you do that? And we share the gospel, we give them a Bible. And then we open this Dugit Messianic Evangelistic Center, which is a coffee house ministry. Dugit means a small fishing boat. We are fishers of men in the heart of Tel Aviv, and we go to the streets, share the gospel with teams, with music, and then invite people for a free cup of coffee, and we have music, live music, and people are very, very open in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is a secular city, people are very open, they want to know what do we believe, and we are able to present the gospel and share the truth. And as we do that, we see the harvest is ready, we see people are opening up, they want to know more, and when they come to know Yeshua, when Jesus comes, he touches them, he changes their life. About a year ago or so, I was invited to Korea to speak on a conference with another pastor about Israel, and we were a few days there. And when I was there, the Lord really spoke to me that what we need is a breakthrough for our city, Tel Aviv. And the Lord really has put in my heart that I need to go and look for a place and build him an altar. Find a place and build an altar of prayer and worship for breakthrough for this city, Tel Aviv, Jaffa. And as soon as I came back, I looked for months and months, looked at different places, and God led me to this building, and we're able to renovate it and dedicate it a year ago. This room is a house of prayer, a prayer tower on the top on the 12th floor that overlooks the whole city of Tel Aviv. And we worship and pray together, and we have now different night watches and different people who come to pray specifically for the salvation of the Israelis, specifically here in Tel Aviv, Yafo. So we really praise the Lord for every opportunity that God gives us, either to the distribution center with the food and the needy, or the Dugit Outreach Coffee Shop Ministry, that we can be right here in downtown, in the heart of Tel Aviv, sharing the gospel and bring people into the kingdom of God. I believe this is the harvest time. This is harvest time. And we need more than ever for people to pray for us, for laborers, and for people to stand with us in such a time as this.
In the midst of tragedy, we want to encourage you of all the great work that's being done in the heart of Tel Aviv. Mm. Listen, it's happening. This is now. Be encouraged. Continue to pray. Pray for Avi and pray for Israel. Pray for the Jews. Not just in Israel, but all over the world. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how during this month of Ramadan, so many Muslims come to the saving knowledge of God. We're going to bring a testimony to you as well. But before we do, I want to go to a break, and I want to talk to you about a special offer. Listen, consider becoming a VFN TV partner today. It's our partners to help make this all possible, where we stand at VFN TV for God, country, and of course, Israel. Partner today.
Did you know that it's our sponsors and partners that make VFN TV possible? Become a partner today. We have an offer for you. For your partnership of any amount, it's offer 2007. It's entitled Hindrances to Love and Power. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said the kingdom of God is not about mere words, but of power. Are you wondering why you might not be seeing more power of the kingdom of God in your life and ministry as a believer? This message addresses that very thing. Hindrances to love, hindrances to power, and you'll be greatly inspired and encouraged as you begin to see the fullness of the kingdom by faith manifest in your life. It's the offer, 2007, Hindrances of Love and Power. You can partner by going to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now and follow the prompts, or by mailing to VFN TV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or call 844-408-3688. That's offer 2007, Hindrances to Love and Power. The world needs to see us moving in the fullness of kingdom power.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We
are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means straddle the jail, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish his purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the apostolic church arising.
Can you play Christian music at a privately owned workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a small business. If I play Christian music and I hire a non-Christian employee and they request to play music from their, you know, praising their religion, do I have to allow that?
No, you don't. It's your business, and it's a private business, and as long as you can't use hiring, and if you're depending on how many employees you have, but under the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, Title VII, if you have more than 15 employees, you have to not have religion as part of your hiring or practices. In other words, you can't hire someone or fire someone simply because of their faith, unless it's a what's called a bona fide occupational qualification, if you're running maybe a Christian bookstore or working at a church, things like that. But you as the business owner have the right to include Christian music as part of what you play over your intercom system.
Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hi, this is John Maxwell, and you're spending a minute with Maxwell. And the word today is entrepreneur, and Christine from Cornelius, North Carolina, sent it in. I'm not sure everybody even knows what an entrepreneur is, but I think everybody wants to be one. Because when you think of an entrepreneur, you'll think of somebody that's blazing new trails, that's making new discoveries, that's starting something from nothing. It's the typical success story of a person who is kind of a self-made person, a self-made man, a self-made woman. So the word entrepreneur really has kind of a magic feel and ring about it. We say, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur. Here's what I know about this type of a person. They're not afraid to take a risk. While others hold back, they step out. They're not afraid to fail. They don't allow failure to control what they say, what they think, and what they do. Their life is controlled by hope and belief, not failure. And the last thing I know about an entrepreneur is that they become the envy of others, because often they do what others wanted to do and what others could have done, but they won't do. So if you're an entrepreneur, congratulations, you stepped out. You did not allow failure to any way control your path or your journey. And because of that, you did what others could have done but were unwilling to do. And that's why I think we like and hold in high respect the entrepreneur.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos. Thank you for joining us at VFNTV. We're talking about a terrorist attack that took place in Israel, Tel Aviv, as well as some really encouraging things that are happening in Tel Aviv through Avi Mizrahi and Do Get Ministry Outreach. Just amazing, beautiful, amazing work. But we wanted to pivot in this part of the program and bring to your awareness, if you may not be aware of it now, that we're actually in the middle of Ramadan. It's a Muslim holy month where they take this time to fast, and it begins on June the 3rd and ends on July the 5th. But something pretty remarkable happens during this time period, that we've been hearing testimonies for quite some time that Muslims are encountering Jesus during the month of Ramadan as they're seeking God and fasting and praying, that they receive visions, they receive dreams, they have visitations, and they give their lives to Jesus. There's a new report that's come out that basically said from 1960 to 2010, there's been a serious explosion in the growth of conversions from Muslims converting to Christianity.
Beautiful.
Something like from 200,000 to 10 million plus. And I want you to hear from Joel Rosenberg as he begins to share what's taken place and what's happening in the Islam community, in the Muslim community, where many of them now are saying, we need to relook at this in terms of ISIS and all this. And is this really what my religion is all about? And they're coming to Jesus Christ. Watch this.
Is there an unprecedented spiritual revolution taking place in the Islamic world? A 2015 study published in the Interdisciplinary Journal of Research on Religion makes that claim. Joining us now to talk about it is author Joel Rosenberg. Joel, always great to have you on the broadcast. Listen, on your blog, joelrosenberg.com, you referenced that study that shows more Muslims came to Christ between 1960 and 2010 than in any time in history. Tell us why.
Well, it's fascinating, right? We've gone from about fewer than 200,000 Muslim converts to Christianity in 1960 to better than 10 million by 2010. And of course, that was 6 years ago. We believe the trend lines are continuing. Mm-hmm. Look, a lot has happened in the last 50 years in the Middle East. A lot of revolutions, wars, turmoil, poverty. And I think what's happening, especially in the last 10 or 15 years, is many Muslims are getting deeply uncomfortable with the idea that ISIS or the Iran's leadership or these or Assad are the type of people that represent Islam. Mm. And many Muslims are saying, look, if that's Islam, if that's real Islam, I'm out. I'm not comfortable with that. And they're beginning to search. There's so much sadness, so much pain and hardship that they are beginning to question whether the system they've always known and believed to be true really is.
Hmm. And do you speak to that a little bit more? Is there the sense of disillusionment within Islam?
Tremendous, yes. And in fact, there, all throughout the Islamic world for the last several decades, Muslim scholars, people who have not yet converted to Christianity, they're asking what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The Islamic world was once the pinnacle of military might, of science and technology and culture and art and architecture. And yet now you don't see Nobel Prize winners, Pulitzer Prize winners. You don't see high-tech discoveries. And right, you've got oil and you've got war and you've got poverty and you've got illiteracy. And Muslims are asking, what happened to us? If God is with us, then why are we struggling? And there are different reactions. Some Muslims are saying God is not with us and we need to become more radicalized and become violent.
Mm.
And commit jihad, holy war, as it were. But others are saying, no, maybe we're wrong. And they're beginning to search satellite television, the internet, radio, and other believers that they're just meeting on the ground, as it were, as well as dreams and visions of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
God is using many ways to get the gospel message to Islam over the heads of the clerics and the governments, right at a moment when Muslims are going through this tremendous upheaval and soul searching.
Yeah. And
it's encouraging.
Would you also say that, you know, there's also more ministry to the Muslim world than ever before?
I believe so, although I believe a lot of that has accelerated post 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when radical Islam hit the United States, there was a reaction. Obviously, we went to war and there was other reactions, and many Americans and Christians generally began to get very angry at Islam, but others began to say, listen, what is motivating them to hate us so much?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we've neglected, as the church broadly speaking, and the American church in particular, maybe we've neglected bringing them the good news that there is hope, that there is salvation, that one doesn't have to kill oneself. There's somebody that's already died for us to forgive us our sins. And so I think there has been an acceleration of missions work in the Muslim world, right at the moment, again, combined with technology, which has allowed fewer people to be able to reach more people with the gospel. I don't think enough people are engaged in Muslim evangelism. I think that's actually still a weakness. But I also believe that God is moving very powerfully, using dreams and visions Muslims are having of the man in white, of Jesus Christ himself. And they are beginning to seek, even when the church is not always willing to preach. And so There's all these things are converging at a moment where I think this is the greatest moment of spiritual openness among Muslims. The data now is starting to come in showing that this what we've all sensed to be true, this tremendous surge of Muslims turning to Christ. But again, remember, 10 million converts, let's say it's twice that, 20 yeah. million. In a world of 1.6 billion Muslims, we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
So if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission and reach every nation with the gospel, make disciples of every nation, we're going to have to really pick up our game and be much more faithful at preaching and strengthening pastors and ministry leaders in the region so that they can reach their people with the gospel.
You talked about the lack of concerted effort to reach out and to engage the Muslim world. This would be a perfect month because the 1.6 billion Muslims around the world are taking part in what's called Ramadan, their holy month of prayer and fasting. How important is it for Christians to get engaged praying for Muslims during this very important month for them?
Well, George, I'm glad you asked the question. I'm glad you're doing the segment because right at a moment where Muslims, even ones that don't think of themselves as super faithful, but are trying to pray and refrain from eating or drinking all throughout daylight hours for an entire month, this is a moment to be praying for them, that God would begin to open their eyes, that as they're praying for favor from God, that God, the God of the Bible, would in fact give it. Mm. But revealing to Muslims, hundreds of millions of Muslims, not just tens of millions, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we would work with and strengthen ministries that are broadcasting the gospel in by satellite television, by radio, by the internet. And then, of course, local believers on the ground who are so persecuted. I think in many ways the violence that we're seeing on the ground in the Middle East is the physical manifestation of the spiritual battle for souls mm-hmm. in the Muslim world. So this is a tremendously important month to be praying for and engaged in ministry to the Muslim world.
1.8 billion Muslims around the world. Listen, we can pray for them. Mm-hmm. We can pray for them and help them come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we have a wonderful testimony. And listen, part of this program, we have a wonderful audience on the Gulf Coast, but because we have multiple ways that people connect to VFN-TV via apps and the internet mm-hmm. and social media, we have a very large international audience that connects with us. So continue to pray that as these messages get out, that they will come to, yes. to the knowledge of the Lord, which is a beautiful thing. But we're going to go to break. When we come back, you're going to hear a testimony from Fazel, Naheem Fazel. And it's a wonderful, wonderful testimony how he converted to Christianity and made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life. More when we get right back from this break.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights. But it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store and or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you know about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. We have an amazing testimony for you, Naeem Fazel, and he came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So many times, you know, you're hearing about Muslims in the news, and a lot of things are stereotyped. You know, people are marginalized. Mm-hmm. And listen, God loves everybody, you know. Not every Muslim is a radical jihadist. You know, we have to be able to think with empathy and be able to understand that if we grew up a certain way, that's how we grew up. Mm-hmm. That's how you lived, right? And you didn't know anything. And when you got to give people the chance, and we have to have a heart of empathy that says, listen, I want to pray for that person. I want to stand in the gap for that person. I am certainly appreciative of those who stood in the gap for me, mm-hmm. and didn't put me in a box, but said, you know what, I'm in spite of him, I'm going to pray for him. And look, you know, thank God, I know the Lord, you know. So I want you to listen to Naeem Fazel's testimony on how he encountered the Lord. Watch this.
We grew up Sunni Muslims, and so we weren't radical or extremist by any means, but we were definitely conservative. We would fast during the month of Ramadan. Friday prayers were normal. My sisters would cover up.
Naeem Fazel lived in Kuwait, and he studied the Quran diligently.
We grew up learning and memorizing, actually, the Quran. I can recite passages of the Quran because there was a value in memorizing the Islamic scriptures.
While his life was grounded in the Muslim faith, a chain of events took place that set Naeem on a new spiritual journey. His older brother had an opportunity to study in the United States.
He came here, and a year later he came back, and he was different. And I knew something was up. And that's when he actually told us that he was a Christian. I remember that day because I threatened to kill him.
Even though Naeem resented his brother's change of heart, he decided to visit him in America.
I hopped on a plane and came to the U.S., and that's when I got confronted with Christianity.
3 weeks after arriving in the U.S., he went to see a movie with his brother. It was a Christian film.
Here I was confronted with this whole new concept or whole new religion, but it was more than a religion, you know. And in that movie, I realized that maybe there's something else out there.
Naeem was confused and began to question his Muslim faith.
So I remember just kind of praying, and I wouldn't even call it a prayer. It was just more of a, I don't know who's up there. If you're real, show me. After that, I had another conversation with my brother. He told me that this God who came down in the form of his son, Jesus, would pursue me and do whatever it takes to have a relationship with me. I remember making fun of him, and I said, well, you know, will he just come down if I just ask him? And my brother said, yes, if you would ask him, he'll come down. And I remember at that point, I went, this is ridiculous. But in my head, I was thinking, you know what? If this is true, then why don't you reveal yourself?
That night when he was going to sleep, he sensed what he describes as an evil presence filling his bedroom.
The door opened, I looked up, and the room started to look really strange, more like death. I mean, what walked in was this demon, this thing that I couldn't even explain. So this thing starts walking towards me and somehow communicates that it's going to kill me. And it stopped right on my bed and just disappeared.
He ran down the hall to his brother's room.
He said, you know, the only person that I know has power over demons and angels is Jesus.
Naeem returned to his room.
I said, Jesus, I don't know who you are. I can't call you the Lord of my life. I can't call you, you know, Savior. I can't call you any of these things. Because at this moment, I'm afraid. I'm scared. I need help. But if you will help me, then I will give you my whole life. The next moment, I found myself sitting on my bed with my eyes open, staring into this presence. I can't even explain it. It was the presence of Jesus. I knew it was Jesus. This peace was so aggressive. It invaded every single thing, every part of me. And I felt like it communicated to me saying, your life is not your own. And I believed it.
He finally understood all that his brother was trying to tell him.
I wanted to do everything possible. So I think the first month or so, I must have prayed the sinner's prayer or accepted Jesus or said the prayer like about 8 or 9 times. Because I just wanted to do it. I just want to make sure.
When he was a Muslim, he learned the Quran and knew a lot about Allah, but didn't have a relationship with him.
It makes total sense now. It only makes sense that God would come in to us in the form of a man, a human, and to be able to relate to us, but also to redeem us, and to have a relationship with us.
In the years that followed, Naeem ministered to college students and met his wife, Ashley. They now have 2 beautiful children, Asher and Noura. Naeem challenges those in the Muslim faith to make a specific prayer if they really want to have a relationship with God.
When Muslims talk with me and we talk about our differences and why I converted, you know, my challenge to them is this. I said, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you consistently for a period of time, maybe take 2 weeks or so, and just sincerely seek this God, this just Jesus. He's able to take a person, radically transform them, and give them a purpose beyond their imagination. Because that's exactly what God did to me. God wants a relationship with them more than they do. And so God's going to pursue them. And all they need to do is just ask.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Isn't it great?
I just think it's beautiful. So many people are having just an intellectual conversation, but to me, there's nothing better than an actual encounter with God and hearing someone's testimony. It's just like, that's where it's at. I love that.
I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
A person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience. Listen, people need to encounter God. And when they encounter God, just get out of their way.
Yes.
You know, because how can you not fall in love with him and give him 100% of your life? It's amazing. You know, I think about Naeem's story, and I think about of some things that can help us in our quest to try to reach those that don't know Christ. If you're not blessed to live in an international community, if you're not blessed to have the opportunity where there's a lot of cultural diversity, understand that maybe you're close to a community college, or maybe you're close to a 4-year school where there have international students. Reports are that what international students want the most are American friends. And so why not befriend an international student. Why not find a way that you can bless them and be a friend to them and give them the things that they need in hopes that you can build a relationship so that you can talk about the Lord?
Yeah. Well, think about that. I mean, you're witnessing, you're sharing who God is in your life to someone who is not even from America. Never know what could come to happen. They go to another nation, ended up giving their lives to the Lord, and you've impacted an entire nation. Just think about that, and it's just like the beautiful of what God can do through your testimony, your story.
Listen, people are coming from all over the world into the United States. This is our opportunity to invest in them and let them, like you say, go back to their country. Not to mention all the media that's available today, Christian media that is streaming into homes and on podcasts and all different ways on apps where they can get the message of the gospel and that they can encounter the Lord. So we want to encourage you, take this time, starting June the 5th, all the way to July the 5th is the month of Ramadan. Take this time, commit yourself to prayer that God would open the eyes of Muslims, that they would encounter Jesus, even in vision and in dreams, that God would set up divine appointments for them to come into contact with other believers that are going to share words of knowledge and pray for them and give them the truth. I'm telling you, I'm so encouraged by this because, you know, the goal still has not changed. Heaven full, hell empty. And while we're still here, we have the opportunity to bring as many people with us. Listen, I've heard, and you've never see a U-Haul behind a Hertz. We can't take any of this stuff with us. But the only thing that we can take with us are souls.
Yeah.
And so let's do this together. As we come to the end of this program, we want to encourage you, please continue to pray for us. We appreciate your prayers, but we want to take this time to pray with you. Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we can come together and be with our audience. Lord, we together lift up the nation of Israel. Lord, we pray safety, protection over the nation of Israel, and we pray for wisdom for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Father, I pray, Lord, that all these attacks, all these plots and strategies, Lord, of terrorists, Lord, will be exposed and they will come to an end, Father. Lord, we pray that an end to this BDS movement, Lord, and we pray for the salvation, Lord, of Muslims all over the world, Lord. Give us divine appointments, Lord. Melt our hearts with compassion, Lord, to reach others, Lord, in this season, in the time that we live. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what Avi Mizrahi is doing in Tel Aviv. And we say more, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. And thank you for watching VFN TV. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.